bringing you around the world right from your desktop. VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
Hey, 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 this is Debbie Ringtop sitting in for Valerie Kirkgaard, who is in sunny Mexico, down with the tropical forest and lots of birds down there. She may be able to connect with us. We're not absolutely sure, but for today, you're going to have a great show. So I am Debbie Ringtop, the doctor for money, sitting in for Val, and we have our editors. We have today with us Gail Ellen, who does the beauty and the arts. We have Lisa Molson, who covers family matters. We have Sherry Ross, who does the essential oils. And today we also have our cowboy humorist, Will Roberts, who is our modern-day Will Rogers. So today we're going to have a really special guest speaker, and it was taped in advance, but we have Gail Ellen with Beauty and the Arts having interviewed a wonderful talk with the Duchess of York, and that is Sarah Ferguson. So Gail, would you like to tell us a little bit about your interview?
I would indeed. The Duchess of York is someone who is a woman of beauty, a woman of strength, and a woman of independence. And she is certainly an inspiring woman who has been faced with and has overcome some very formidable problems. And I had a chance to meet with her in Los Angeles and talk about her beautiful new jewelry collection. And I'm wondering if we could just go ahead and run that right now.
We're here in Century City at Bloomingdale's with Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York, today, and she's introducing her beautiful new line of jewelry called Masonite. And this is an elegant and substantial collection. It's a fabulously extraordinary fine jewelry collection. And the Duchess of York is certainly a woman of strength and a woman of independence and a woman of beauty. And Sarah, I'd like to welcome you, and please tell us about this beautiful new collection.
Well, you're very kind, Gail. Thank you for the welcome. The collection is the Sarah Ferguson collection of Moissanite, fine jewelry. And it is, I agreed to do it because I am giving all of the proceeds from my share to my foundation, the Sarah Ferguson Foundation, to benefit children worldwide.
So you're using the collection to really combine love and this beautiful fine jewelry with sort of a devotion to help children around the world.
Well, to help children, you have to raise the money.
Yes.
So I thought the way to do it would be to bring out my fine line of jewels so that when people are wearing the jewelry, the Moissanite, they are able to also know that they're giving back to children all over the world.
That's a very beautiful thing. Sarah, can you tell us what Moissanite is? I mean, it's something very rare.
It is rare. Moissanite was basically many in the 18th century came from a meteorite. And when people found it, I think they looked in this huge great sort of hole in the ground. They thought, whoa, I found diamonds. And it looks like diamond, but it's brighter and got more dynamism, and it's got more luster, and it sparkles more than diamonds. And it is now, there wasn't enough in the hole in the ground to make the moissanite from there. So now it is created. People call it chemically made, but it is actually created, rather like you create a delicious dinner in your home.
Yes.
So they've created it, and they've called it Moissanite after the land has found it in the hole.
It's such a beautiful collection, Sarah. I've seen the collection myself, and it's such a beautiful collection. I wonder, do you have a favorite piece?
I don't have a set piece because I think it's all very interesting the way we've mixed Moissanite with pearls, and it's very interesting the way we've done it. So every piece is special to me.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
One piece there's one piece which is the ring where I have my signature in the back of the ring, and I think that's nice for people to have, and they get a passport with it. And you know, the ring costs, you know, it's got so many, it's what, an 18-carat ring, and it costs anything between $200 to $1,000, which is not bad for that kind of ring.
But then when people wear it, they'll know it's something very special.
They'll wear it and they'll know that they've made a child smile.
Yes, absolutely. And, Sarah, you're also the global ambassador for the World Children's Day, weren't you?
Yeah, I am, yes. That's coming up.
Yes. Yes. And we're aiming to
100 million.
Yes. I recently saw you here in Los Angeles at the Governor's Conference with Maria Shriver, and that was such a wonderful visit from you. And you talked about your little red rag doll there, and I know that you've got a new children's book coming out.
Yes, that's right. My little red autumn adventure is coming out. And yes, no question about it, that Little Red is now beginning to really be able to make a difference in rebuilding schools all over the world.
That's wonderful. Sarah, how are your two girls?
My two girls are brilliant. You might have heard me telling someone I love them on the other line. My daughter usually saying goodnight.
You're two wonderful. Sarah, thank you for your heart. Thank you for who you are in the world. And thank you for being an inspiration to all of us. We love you.
Oh, bless your heart. And thank you so much. I'm sorry for the terrible line here.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
We so appreciate that interview. That is amazing. I'd love to see these rocks that came out of space. So, Gail, can you tell us a little bit more? What are they actually doing with this moissanite? I mean, how are they creating it, because it's so rare? What are they doing with the process?
It actually is something that requires very simple care and handling, just like other diamonds. And the moissanite really is, it's a name, it was named after the Nobel Prize-winning scientist who discovered moissanite in a 50,000-year-old meteor found in Diablo Canyon in Arizona. And in 1893, Dr. Henry Mohsen found what he originally believed to be diamonds from space, and it was discovered that what Dr. Mohsen actually found was a new jewel, and in 1905 it was named in his honor. So it isn't a diamond, it isn't fake, it isn't natural. It's a newly created jewel produced by this company, Charles & Colvard.
It says that it's a laboratory-grown jewel and with a sparkle of diamonds, but not quite the cachet, is what it says on our website.
Yeah, well,
yep.
Yes, and what it does, Lisa, is it's created, it's literally grown from what is a moissanite seed in a very high-tech crystal grower, and it takes about 6 months from start to finish.
Wow.
to complete an item with moissanite. And it really is a new category of jewelry.
Yeah, it looks fabulous.
In a way, synthesized. Yes, and it's very, very rare.
What kind of...
Do you have a piece of moissanite, some of the base, the original product? Or how do they have to have, like, a little bit of seed?
It's a patented method. I can't even really talk about it because it's something that's patented. All I know is it's beautiful.
Sounds wonderful.
And it's going to go for the children... programs and things like that. Do you know what kind of programs that she's involved with worldwide, as far as what kind of children things that she's involved with?
Yeah, the Sarah Ferguson Foundation was established in New York in 2006, and what it is dedicated to making a difference in the lives of forgotten children throughout the world. And how that is defined is it's charitable assistance despite their living conditions, or however they've been neglected, the foundation is assisting that.
I want you to know that you're doing an excellent job.
Welcome.
This is Valerie, who has been being sick in Mexico.
Well, we just heard the beautiful interview of the Duchess of York, and Gail Allen did a great job.
Oh, that's great. That is totally great.
Awesome interview.
Yeah.
Jewelry, too. I'm looking at it online, and they're just stunning. They're huge diamonds. I love it.
Actually, not diamonds.
Well, they look like it, though.
What's amazing is that they're manufactured.
Well, they're grown jewelry, grown jewels, but they look like diamonds. They're huge.
Now, since I've showed up late here, this is Sal Kirkgaard, the most of the time host of the show. Who led off today? Did you do that, Gail?
Debbie did.
Debbie, good job.
Thank you.
I totally appreciate that, and if I abruptly leave, you'll all understand.
Absolutely.
Did you talk about the work that Sarah's doing with the children's foundations?
We were just starting to talk about what foundation she was part of, and Gail brought up about her new foundation that actually contributes to several other foundations. And the Children in Crisis is one of the main ones that she had created. I'm about to say a few more words about that. And basically, I think she created this one in 1985, was it?
Okay, maybe it is 85.
It's been quite a few years. She was the one that actually helped create that organization. They do a lot of educational opportunities throughout the world. They're dealing with poverty in the world and the vulnerable children and their families and how to help them get an education, get access to education that they don't have the opportunity for otherwise, and just finding ways to help improve their lives for a positive way. And I know that Lisa's got some ideas about why you want to have, you know, better families and better health and education so that you can really do more with your family.
Right. Well, is that my cue?
That is your cue, kid. Take it.
Oh, well, today I just think that, gosh, there's so many different things that we could talk about, but, you know, we've got the holidays coming up. We just had Thanksgiving, and I think that, it's a beautiful time to regroup. One of the things that we're doing is, flying people in from all over the country to spend holidays with us and whatnot. And yes, family is the cornerstone of the world. And so I live in that world. And so part of it is learning how to prioritize your life. You know, one of the things that I found with my own life is that I would get so involved with so many other things that, and they found that children who were not brought up, you know, with parental involvement and things like that, it just made it harder for them. So I really wanted to take the time to focus on my children and put them priority in my life. And I was doing this exercise and finding out what's the most important thing. And sometimes it's like, how do you prioritize your life when you get so busy and doing work and things like that? It's so easy to get lost in it. But if we do not make the goal of making our family first, it will not happen. So I just want to remind us that just as much as we make goals and plan everything else in our life, it's important to plan to have a close relationship with the people that we love and say are the most important things in our life. So, and I'm having to put them on my list. So, you know, and looking at activities that you can do with your family to make that a reality as well. So, you know, if my daughter was first, like today, here's a very good example I'm telling on myself. Yesterday or 2 days ago, my daughter came and said that she's got a game. Well, I ended up on the phone, and I lost track of time. And I heard about it when she got home because I ran up there last minute and then I missed her game. So today, you know, I have to put everything aside and focus on, you know, making sure that that's an important thing so she knows that she is important to me. Because I live in a blended family with the holidays coming up, you know, we just have to stop and make time to make sure that everybody is included. I've got one daughter in Alaska, another one in Milwaukee. You know, my other children are here in Northern California with me. But, you know, taking the time to spending quality time with people, letting them know that they're important to you. So are important. You have to put them into your schedule and actually make it a goal. Yikes. So that's Lisa Nelson. Here's your message for the day. Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Just to expand on that, the Children in Crisis, which is the organization she created, I see it was in 1993. And at this point, they now reach over 250,000 children annually in 10 countries around the world. And what their goal is right now to create assistance for over 1 million by the year of 2015. So, you know, they're definitely on their way, and they have a lot of work to do to continue to move in that direction. And a piece part, they have a program that's called World Day or World Child Day, but there's another one that's actually coming up day after tomorrow for those of us that are live on this call. On December the 1st, is a day for HIV and AIDS. And the program there is really trying to let people know about what's going on with AIDS. Most people do not understand. World AIDS Day is to let people know what's really happening and try to help the children, help the people. So it's a partner organization in Kenya and a lot of other places that they work with, specifically children in crisis. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to say about?
Yeah, I actually do, Deb. I researched on the internet. I was doing a lot of research on the internet this morning because I was thinking about these children, you know, where are they all coming from? They're coming from starving families. They're coming from war. They're coming from all kinds of places. So they're not even just children that, you know, lost a parent in an accident or something like that. These are children that have been torn apart. And these children are our future, and I am so grateful to Sarah Ferguson for what she and others are doing. I do not want to blame Mexico for my condition. I actually came down here sick, and I'm going through a little bit of that now. And, Debbie, I really want to know that I appreciate you taking over and doing what you're doing. There's so much stuff going on in the world this week. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but this is actually, Monday was the anniversary of how long we had been in World War II. So the Iraq, what's been going on in Iraq is now past the time and energy that we spent in World War II, and the world consensus is that we're losing the war. And if we've already lost 655,000 Iraqi citizens, how many Iraqi children does that leave? You know, these are the questions that are happening now. It's like, yes, we can take care of the children after things have happened, but how are we going to handle this before so that this isn't continuing to happen? And, you know, Gail, I was wondering what your response to this is, what I'm saying right now.
Well, I just want to say, Val, that the foundation, the Sarah Ferguson Foundation, values and respects culturally diversity and is committed to providing support in a manner that's sensitive to and in keeping with cultural differences and identities. And it also fully supports the UN Convention on the Rights of Children. And it's all about that. And
well, another very interesting thing has happened this week. Will, are you on yet?
Yes, I am.
Will, I actually, when I asked you this morning if anything in particular had happened in the world and we hadn't seen anything in the headlines, I was going through emails and I was reading about the fact that in Germany, I don't know if you know about this or not, our government has actually been taken up for war crimes. They've actually, there's a thing. Do you know more about that?
No, I just know that they were at NATO and they just really, they're not real happy about the possibility of troop enhancements and so on. So
it's more than that. We've actually been taken up for war crimes. Our Rumsfeld in particular was the top one named. But the U.S. government, legal action has been filed in the German courts. There is actually, in the rest of the world, there is a system by which if somebody has a complaint about a government, they can actually go to the German court, and there's a minister there that deals with it. This is for countries of the world, whether they've treated other countries properly or not. Well, what has happened in the world now is that the people went to the German court and asked to have our government put on trial for war crimes, and it's actually, it's been filed and it's going to be happening. So Rumsfeld is actually going to be on trial in Germany for war crimes in Iraq. So this conversation that we've been having that we think is a United States conversation, the world is having, we've achieved a place in the world that's really devastating.
I was listening to another radio show this morning, and one of the hosts had said something about there was, in history, over time, the presidents that made the same mistake were trying to erode, you know, our rights as Americans in violation of our freedom. The presidency would try to override or, you know, the Constitution to extend beyond his powers, you know, in the name of war, which is pretty much what they're trying to do or what they've been trying to do, and, you know, what the Patriot Act and things of that nature. He said something about Lincoln tried to do it, and I, with the internment camps with the Japanese and things of that nature as well. I mean, you know, all because we were afraid of certain people, and, you know, look at the people who are just in our own country, our own Americans, you know, that have been violated as well, you know, treated like criminals and taken into camps and away from their families for long periods of time. Because
I actually saw pictures of the 16 prisons for U.S. citizens if they disagreed with what's going on. So we're in the middle of a very amazing time. I actually started researching on the Internet children's organizations. Good Lord, thank God there are so many people helping the children, because the damage here would just be, you know, I don't even know if it's irreparable, Lise, and I don't know, you know, I don't know what you found out after we talked this morning, Deb.
I haven't found out a lot because I've been dealing with a few challenges in my own home.
Oh, yes, okay, I understand.
But all, all good ones.
We've all got a lot going on in many places. As I say, I'm down here in beautiful Mexico, and I came down here sick, so I don't want anybody to blame the Mexican food. It is not their fault. I've been treated very well down here. I'm just very puny. But between the beautiful birds and the way that people are treating each other down here and the regard that they have for each other, it's like we need to wake up as Americans, and it sounds to me like we are. I actually received 5 emails talking about impeachment today, in the last 2 days. I was able to get a connection and go through all the emails. But the question is, to me, is not about impeachment. The question to me is, what do we want to create in the world? You know, Debbie and Lisa, you and I took Mary Louise and Ron Zeller's course. And that was about creating a new future and recreating the Garden of Eden. So how can we recreate the Garden of Eden? How can we make sure that our children are taken care of? How can we make sure that we're really citizens of the world? Next week we're going to be having Carolyn Anderson on the show, and she wrote, she's a global citizen. So,
As I said before, if it's not a priority and we don't write it down as something that's very important to us, it's just not going to happen. It's got to get on the radar screen. You have to bring about awareness about the fact that it's not there. The results that we have in the world right now are a result of us not paying attention to it. So.
Yeah, or if we paid attention, not speaking up, you know. So we're going to have to speak up for what we believe in. I got an email this morning, Lisa, asking me what I wanted most out of the Democratic Congress. And I said, I wanted back habeas corpus. I wanted to end the war in Iraq.
Right.
I wanted to take care of our children. You know, Cherie, what do you want most out of our new government?
What I would like is that the people, because the government is and should be people, and so rather than talk about the government, I think what would be helpful is to talk about reigniting the people. And I think that that is starting to happen, and educating the people, because it's all through education that people realize and understand that they have different choices that they didn't realize they had before. And that they can, you know, there's a wonderful, from the Course in Miracles, it says, choose once again.
Yeah, that's good.
And you just keep, you know, you look at what you've done, you look at the results you've gotten, you make a decision, is that what I would choose again, yes or no? So many of us, the answer is no. We look at our lives and we're like, oh boy, how did this mess happen? And then choose once again. So So I think it goes back to not so much blaming, quote, the government, but more importantly, getting education out there and getting people, our neighbors, our friends, our family members, getting them involved, getting the education and knowledge out there. However we can facilitate that so that people realize they can make different choices.
Well, I think that we also saw it in the voting that a lot more of the young people got involved and voted. So that changed a little bit of where we're going now because we have more people that this was one of the higher attended elections.
Well, absolutely. And you're going to be amused at this, Debbie. I doubt that you know this. I just found this out today. But the Department of Health is, this ought to get the younger people going. The Department of Health is requesting that nobody have sex that's not married under the age of 30. You heard that one?
No.
You like that one? Do you think that ought to get the younger people going?
I think there's a lot of people that might be concerned with that one.
I think they call that a virgin.
They call it what?
I think they call that a virgin.
This came out this week. I'm going to use the terms the government because
who's
I'm not using the term the president.
Who's the person that wrote this? You know, this just doesn't get written from the ether.
This was requested.
An actual person, though, had to write this.
That's right, and a number of actual people actually had to agree to this
before
this could be published.
Exactly.
You're on the Internet, aren't you, Will?
Yeah, I am.
Hop on the Internet and see if you can find. I'm trying to remember the newspaper that was in. I nearly dropped my teeth because here was the next email, Sheree. You'll get a kick out of this as well.
Yep.
The next email was about World Orgasm Day.
Oh, yeah.
So World Orgasm Day is going to be on the 22nd of December. And the whole idea behind it is there's some Princeton study that says that you can measure energy. You know, that when we've had massive meetings or we've had massive prayer-ins or whatever, that they actually have technology that will measure that energy. So the purpose of World Orgasm Day is for everybody to have orgasms. And I thought it was amusing because they were one email after the other. It was literally, the first email was no sex until you're 30 unless you're married. The second sex was, let's save the world through National Orgasm Day. So, you know, there may be other solutions, but I found it highly amusing.
I just wonder where these came from. But can you imagine, though, if we didn't have a lot of children coming in, what's going to happen with Social Security and all the other things? We need people working, and you got to have more young people coming into the workforce. And, you know, if we stop having kids for a period, it's like...
Well, the Maoris don't want kids anymore, okay, as a group. And DeFore, do you happen to know the figures on that, Will, by any chance, how many people have died there now? I mean, the world's population is being hugely reduced. Pardon?
I found the article, Government Tells Singles No Sex Till You're 30. It's on ABC News.
ABC News?
I'd love to give you the website address, but that would take up the whole show considering how long this is.
Okay, so all they have to do is what, Google No Sex, or what is it?
You know what, I'll send you the link. All you have to do is just put in No Sex Until You're 30. It's pretty blatant. It'll show up on the top. Because you know that 80% of the Internet is porn anyway, so statistics show.
So here we've got, you know, war crimes being filed in Germany. We've got World Orgasm Day. We've got children in need. I mean, it's like the pot is pretty stirred up. What's the oil for this, Sheree? Peace and calming, maybe?
The oil, I would say, would be a couple things. One is harmony, because we are designed to work together, not against each other. And we all have, as individuals, we all have wonderful gifts and attributes that I am so grateful other people have that I don't have that make my life work better. And the whole thing that I think we miss is that we miss that we are meant to work together, not against each other. And what is interesting is sometimes the against is not always bad, because even when you rub two sticks against each other, you're going to get some fire. And sometimes you may need fire, and sometimes it may be out of control. So I think, for me, the oil blend that I like to work with that literally changes how you work within yourself and then how you work with others is called harmony. And it's a blend that has like 13 essential oils in it that are very high in working with the spiritual emotional. And a lot of people say to me, well, how can you just rub this smelly thing on you and it change your life? Well, in a way it can be that simple, and in a way it's not. But how it is that simple is it changes the brain chemistry so that you have a different perspective on how you see your life. And it literally changes how the brain functions in the midbrain regarding the emotions. And this has been scientifically documented, researched, and proven. So, Dr. Valerie, I would say harmony. Now, I have an oil for the orgasm day.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it just feels so. It feels so easy to run away to Mexico, Sheree. It's so easy. The tropical rainforest, the birds, the charming people.
But, you know, wherever you go, there you are.
But couldn't I just have amnesia for a week or two? Is there an amnesia oil? Just give me a week or two off. I'm receiving somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 50 emails a day on a wide variety of subjects, besides the junk, you know, you just throw out the junk, but on a wide variety of subjects. I would have to say that we Americans, I remember after the election, I thought we finally become we the people have spoken. So I really agree with what you're saying about the unity.
Yeah.
And I really think I should probably give Roberto's Bungalows a plug at this point because they've been very kind to me down here and they've dealt with all of my upset stomach and all of the stuff that's been going on. Like I said, I'm disclaiming Mexico. It's not the cause for this. Roberto's Bungalows is just a really absolutely charming place, and if you feel like you'd like to have amnesia and get away from all the things that we're talking about, you should come down here and visit Steve and Diana, and you can go to robertosbungalows.com. They're right there on the Internet. And they'll take really good care of you, and it's not a hospital. They actually have their own hospital here in San Pancho, which I was looking over. But it's a place you would really enjoy staying, and the hospitality here is just amazing. I'm actually in their living room kitchen right now doing the show, so I want to say thank you to Roberto's Bungalows, and I also want to say thank you to Sustainable Angels with Chris Sanders and Robert Plar, because Sustainable Angels, you go check out that website, and you're going to find some very remarkable stuff that's happening. And also, Sheree, we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to put on Will Roberts, who's been very helpfully handling the Internet work here. I appreciate that today, Will.
Sure.
And I wonder, out of all of this mishmash, jimbo-jumbo, rooty-tooty, what's your commentary on today, Mr. He does the reincarnation of Will Rogers. That's the way I know how to introduce you.
Well, that's a good way of doing it. Modern-day Will Rogers, which is a spin on current events. And I'll start off with a website. Go to my website, willrogersusa.com, all my stories and all that stuff. And I'm going to start doing a video feature that when I travel around the country, which is a lot, you'll be able to see that.
Oh, that's
anyway,
great.
Today's headlines read... Pope holds a mass, an ancient Christian site in Turkey, as we all know. Now, it reports his numbers are down, and we're hoping that he doesn't take that wrong and pull a Michael Richards. He's keeping his hands to himself, minimal gestures, minimal damage. Even a wave might be replaced by, you know, a nod of the head. And thank goodness he doesn't speak the Turkish language. It seems as though Bill Frist, just recently, today, has decided not to run for 2008 presidency. He stated on the Internet, and this may be out of context, but he said that I'll resume my regular medical mission trips as a doctor around the world to serve those in poverty, famine, and get this, in civil war. Well, that's funny when your own party says that it has signs of civil war, but you can't realize that yourself. Anyhow, I suspect that things will, if they go as well as they are going overseas, the GOP might not have anybody to run in 2008. They might have all left the country. Michael Richards, you know, there's a last bit of information on him. It's still trickling, but it seems like it's all quieted down. The two gentlemen that were offended have had enough time to heal a little bit, just enough time to find out that they've suffered just a little bit of mental anguish, and they need to get a little bit of money for that. Anyhow, they say that, here's my spin on hecklers, because I do a lot of shows. In this day and age, with our attention span, thinking that high speed's not enough, and we got to get it faster. Most folks go to performances to sit, enjoy, and maybe even appreciate the fact that they're not the ones up there in the limelight. Anyhow, there's no excuse for what Mr. Richards did, other than maybe bad timing on his medication or missed therapy session. But disrespectful is a two-way street. Folks ask me what I do about hecklers, and, well, there's only two words, hog tie. Don't throw a stone.
You hog tie them?
Yep. Don't throw a stone if you don't want it thrown back. And that's it. WillRogersUSA.com.
Oh, well, Mr. Will Rogers USA, I'm going to admit my ignorance here. What did he do?
Who?
Michael Richards.
Oh, my gosh. The guy from Seinfeld? Okay.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Richards.
Yes. Oh, that was unbelievable.
Oh,
yes, I know about that.
It's still the butt of everybody's jokes, so to speak. But, again, as I said, you know, if you're going to, it's a little tough when we're out here in the world of entertainment or even news and commentary and radio. There is a certain time when an audience should be able to interrupt. This is not your home with a remote. You can't pause it. You got to sit and
well,
look because you paid the ticket.
You almost wonder if he and Mel took some kind of a pill or something because both of them, it seems to be out of context for them.
Well, you know, they say that Hollywood folks have they have a disadvantage, which a lot of folks aren't happy with in the political world, which is they have the publicity to be able to say what they want. Unfortunately, those two pick the wrong time, wrong place, and wrong subject.
Well, I think what bothers me the most about all of this is the fact that they get a lot of primetime news coverage to apologize 27 times.
Yep.
You know, and it's like there's something that we have that exaggerates. I do not ever want to be a celebrity like that, because I do not want to have everything that I say exaggerated to that degree.
Well, yeah.
So, anyway, seems like this show is pretty political today. Maybe that's because I'm out of the country. I don't know.
Ah, there you go.
But what I'm wondering here is what the Doctor for Money has to say about all of this.
Well, first of all, I think we need to make a little reference to something that's on our website, and that is, you can click on the Race for the Rainforest. It's a donation system. All you have to do is go once a day to our website, wakingupinamerica.com. Scroll down a little bit on the left side, and you can help save some of the wetlands, the marine, or the rainforest. And Dr. Val right now is down there in the rainforest, and we want to be sure and save some of it. So please, everybody go and click on that and see if you can save just a little bit of our natural resources on this world. If we don't have enough resources, we're in trouble, because then we're not going to have enough of the clean air and the oxygen and other things that are necessary for plant life and everything else to live.
Well, I'll tell you, Deb, part of the problem in the rainforest is it's just accessible down here. They're building all over the place. I have tried so many locations to call in from this radio show, but the truth of the matter is the birds and the builders have gotten together and paradise is growing by leaps and bounds. So,
well, that
hopefully,
happens in America too, but you end up with more and more parks, and, you know, whether they're national or whatever, but you got to have areas that get preserved. And I believe that clicking for saving the rainforest, et cetera, is going to help save some of those resources so that everything doesn't get built over, because you just can't take it all away.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's one of the tendencies that we have. Also, I don't know, one of the major things that's happened recently is a letter that I sent out for Jerry Weaver about her daughter, Lynn Weaver's death in that terrible tragedy in the farmer's market 3 years back. But Lynn's whole commitment to life was actually about the oceans. So one of the things that Debbie's talking about, you get American prairies, oceans, or rainforest, and you can do it. The other thing, Deb, is you can do it every single day. You can pick one of them. So you can come to our site every single day and pick one of them, and it doesn't cost you a cent. And you just keep getting to do that over and over again. What you end up saving is 7 square feet. So if you multiply, well, if you get your calculator, multiply 7 square feet by 365 and tell us how many square feet of ocean, rainforest, or prairie that people would be saving in a year.
So in 365 days, if you're saving seven, you're going to be
saving 7 square feet a year, a day rather.
2,555. A year.
Square feet
a year.
Now, what does that add up to?
Every person could do that.
And how many people are supposed to be in the United States now? Does anybody know? Sheree, do you know?
No.
I'm thinking maybe,
600 million? Does that sound right?
Easy.
Anyway, there's a... As Americans alone, there are many subtle ways that we can be contributing to the condition of this world. We don't have to fight a war to do it, and we don't have to argue with anybody. All we have to do is go to a computer, go to wakingupinamerica.com, and click on one of these places, and we get there. So I think that that's one of the main messages of this show today is I have no idea. I don't know if Gail is still on or not, but I'm really interested in how much money Sarah Ferguson has raised since the early 80s when she started her project. I bet you it's substantial. So there's a lot of people giving back. Do you have any particular ways you want us to give back, Deb, besides what you just offered? And by the way, thank you for that.
Well, I do want to just make sure that people do know the website that they can go to for Sarah Ferguson. Her main organization is called Children in Crisis. So it is www.childreninCrisis.org.uk. This is a group out of the United Kingdom. Even though they have Christmas cards for sale and some events that are going on, they are over in England. So if you happen to be traveling there or you are a listener from the London area, there's a lot of things that you can do from our website as well and from her website to be able to purchase Christmas cards. It's all sold in pounds, so I'm not sure how we get them converted into U.S. It does take credit.
Oh, another sore note.
Yeah.
The pound is growing and the dollar is dropping like a rock, so make your contributions fast.
That's for sure. Well, I think today our big message from the Doctor for Money is that philanthropy comes at all levels. You do not have to be a superstar. You don't have to be a princess. You don't have to be somebody in the movies or anything like that. You can do things at small levels. It can be through your local churches. It can be all kinds of different things. And with the Internet available, there's so many more places that you can go to. The one part I do want to say is if you go through the Internet and some of the phone calls that come to you, especially this time of year, not all the organizations that are going to call you or all the places on the Internet are real organizations. So try to go with reputable ones so that really the money gets out to the people that they're trying to support. That's the most important thing is that we all take a little bit more control, choice and control in how money is spent in this world. And, we pay a lot of taxes nowadays, and that's supposed to be helping. That's really an asset to all of us, but it's just how is it spent? And, a lot of it goes to the public roads. I mean, we drive on the freeways, all kinds of things like that. These are services available to us. But we want to also be able to pay less in tax and redirect it so that we can direct it to the places that we want to see it go, whether it's organizations in our own hometown or something across the world. We just want to be sure that everybody out there looks in deep into their hearts and starts to say, who do I want to support? And let me find ways to expand that organization, help other people. The more you help others, the more it's going to come back to you. It's just important that we all are involved, and not just this time of year. Unfortunately, so many charities, a lot of things are given right around Thanksgiving and Christmas, and then they forget about them the rest of the year. So we want to be sure you keep thinking about who they are out there. Create a family foundation, something that can support groups at different times of the year. Make fun projects. Lots of things you can do out there now. So anyway, this is your Doctor for Money just talking about some charity, how to get involved in the world and make a difference, and every little bit is going to help. I mean, even the pennies help. Every little bit helps. So if you want to reach any of us, you can call any of us at our toll-free number, 1-866-RADIO-99, or you can email us, myself, Debbie, at wakingupinamerica.com, or Val, or Sherry, or Lisa. You just put our name at wakingupinamerica.com, and you can reach any of us. So anyway, that's it for the Doctor for Money for today. Back to you, Val. Are you there? I think I lost her.
You know, it's Gail. I just want to say that what we can do is let a smile be our umbrella, and just remember that a merry heart does good just like medicine, so that's a real great form of charity if you just
Absolutely. Yeah, having a smile on your face, it's amazing. I've seen ads on TV where they show somebody that smiles and that turns somebody else to smile, or somebody picks something up for somebody that dropped it. There's lots of ways you can help this world.
Yeah, it makes such a difference, and I'm glad you mentioned something as a smile. One of the things that, this is Dr. Val, and what we're talking about is charitable organizations today, and Sarah Ferguson, and our thanks to Gail for putting this together. I was so aware of the show this week, and I've actually been selling land in San Pancho, Mexico. Well, I've been working with a realtor down here to invite people to come down here. And one of the things that I actually did, Deb, was I had put in all the sales contracts that the person who bought the property, that a percentage of that 1% of their purchase price would be given to the person who had referred them to San Pancho, and that the other 1% would be given to the town. So we've actually been talking with the mayor of the town, because it's possible that these contracts could run into literally millions of dollars over the years. So we actually have a list of projects from the mayor of San Pancho that he would like to have accomplished. And so when I was walking around the town yesterday, I walked into a little shop to buy gifts to bring back to the United States, and I saw that all the benefits of that shop happened to go to the town's library. And I asked where the library was, and the woman said that it was upstairs. So I went upstairs to look at the library, and I don't know, I've been doing radio for 20 years, and over that period of time, I've had a lot of books contributed to me, and they happen to be, a lot of them happen to be paperbacks. Most libraries won't take that, and I'd wanted a really good place to send my books. So I talked to Nicole, who runs the shop, and I'm actually going to be going through my library, sorting out the books, and sending them to a transfer station in the United States, and they'll be forwarding those books down to San Pancho for their library. So then I go upstairs, and I notice that they've got books all over the floor. And she goes, well, we're out of money, and we need shelves, right? I said, so how much do shelves cost? And she goes, $50. I mean, can you believe that, Deb? $50?
It's amazing.
So I said, here's $50. And I just took $50 out of my pocket. And I said, when can I expect to see these shelves up? And she said, if you'll be here on Monday, you'll see them up then. And I thought, how different this is.
Isn't that,
you know, it's like, it's being like right in the middle of the nut, you know, being engaged in the thing. You don't check off a sheet, and I contribute a lot of money to different causes that I believe in. But this is like so hands-on. And I suggest we could do that in any town. Walk through the town and see what the town needs. What does your town need? Is there particular streets that have potholes or something? Or, you know, you live, I forgot the name of the town that you live in, Deb.
I'm actually in a little town called Knightson outside of Brentwood.
What does your town need? Things you've noticed as you just walk through the streets.
I know some of it's been tax-related, trying to help with flooding.
Okay, but pick something smaller. Like in one case, one of the things that I noticed in my little area of Topanga Canyon was that there were certain signs that had just been knocked over and broken down. And somebody had bumped into some posts. I actually took my guys and went out and had them fix some of the posts that people had bumped in that keep them from going into culverts and things like that. So I just got a bunch of pipes, sawed them up to get the Caltrans in there. They did a beautiful job on our highways. But to get them in for small things like that can take sometimes 2, 3, 5, 6 months. I just took one of my guys and went down and we put in new posts and painted them. And, you know, it's different in everybody's community, but I suggest that there may be a bus bench that needs painting or something of that nature. You know, something that we can contribute, or an organization that needs some uniforms for the kids or something like that, but something where you can actually hand over your money and see the thing happening.
Are you contributing time, you know?
Pardon?
Even contributing a little bit of time and energy, you can help fix something.
Yeah, absolutely. Lisa, are you still on? Lisa Molson?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, I walked around when you were in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Right? Did I say that state right? It was Wisconsin, wasn't it?
Wisconsin.
The parts of your
right
community. I said Wisconsin wrong?
No. Wisconsin.
Wisconsin? Oh, you leave out the part? That's okay, fine, because now we're really in, like we've been to Constant, right?
Yeah.
So in your community, what you look around and you see, it doesn't have to be a big thing. I mean, it could be, as I said, a bench that could be painted.
Well, I mean, because I live in both places. I have, and both of them are Native American reservations that I'm, you know, part of their communities. But one thing I like to encourage people to do just, you know, is charity starts at home, first of all, and then your local community. And just in my own community here, for instance, it's maybe not so much, it's because my expertise is more along in, you know, getting things done on a governmental basis. And so I'm working with my tribe, helping them become more self-sufficient by creating a government system so that they can issue their own business licenses and things of that nature. So people
that's
can
powerful.
Save more money so they can actually grow and expand, because we've been dependent on our casino business, and we want to actually expand that business base and go beyond that. And the only way we're going to be able to do it is take control of our own, you know, governmental. It's kind of like sovereignty. We have sovereignty, but if we don't use it, you know, we don't get the benefits of it either. So, and so we're looking down that path and on a more larger scale, just in my own community, in Native community, we're working on creating a Native American investment fund so that tribes and Native Americans like myself have a place to go to when they have business ideas and whatnot, they can get funding, you know, more traditional
I'm really
funding.
I'm really proud of the work you do. I've seen you in action. I've watched you in your office. You do great. Well, I know you're traveling all the time, so you probably have 50 communities. But what your home community is Phoenix, right? You still there?
Well,
I think we're yes, sir, he is.
I can say something quick.
Yeah.
Cherie, and right now I'm up in Whitefish, Montana. And I just read an article in the newspaper about the senior citizens, because there's been such rapid change here over the last 3 years. Such huge growth up here in Whitefish area, Flathead Valley in Montana. And they interviewed a whole bunch of senior citizens that grew up in this area. And they said they didn't like the change. And when they asked them what was the one thing that they didn't like about it, and this is what they said, it had nothing to do with money or buildings or anything. What they all said, this very large group of senior citizens said, that people don't wave at you when you see them on the street anymore. And they didn't like that. See, and what happened was, and I didn't know this, I just read the article this morning. What I did a few days ago was, I just smiled. You know, when I pull up next to someone at a stoplight, I'll smile at them. I just smile, you know. And this one person followed me and said, "Do I know you?" And I said, "No." And I just said, "I just smile at people. I just, you know, I'm happy to be here. I'm in the mountains. My goodness, I'm just happy." And so, but that is the one thing, and that doesn't cost a penny. But to just smile at people in your community, when you look at them, or when you see them, catch them in the eye and smile. Or give a wave hello, or nod your head and then smile. Just some type of acknowledgement that, hi. Something like that.
That's really good.
And isn't that interesting, that of all the things the senior citizens could have complained about, the traffic and the building and the everything, it was because nobody, when they walked down the street anymore, people didn't wave to them and say hi.
That's a perfect message. You know, and the interesting thing is that if you start smiling, then we start making connections.
Yes.
We start reconnecting, and we don't have to, then we're in charge of things again. Then we have relationship. I mean, all the things that you're talking about are just so possible there. Is Gail still on the show?
Here I am.
Here you am. So where are you in all of this conversation, Gail?
I'm right there, right with all of you.
Now, you live in the Valley, right?
I do.
What's something that you noticed in the Valley? I mean, you know, Cherie was talking about smiling. Deb was talking about it. I think that's a very valuable thing. But is there anything that stands out in your mind that's a small thing that you could just contribute? One of the things I do, Gail, is I just actually pick up trash when I sit on the street now and put it in the trash can. But I don't know what rings a bell for you.
I try to just remember all those things, Val, and not contribute to any clutter around me, but just really try to be a gracious human being to other people,
you know,
around me in every way.
And that's why you're on the show, sweetie, because you are such a gracious, precious human being. And if you ever have Gail come over to your house, you'll love it. She does such a good job of being a guest and being support. And that would be one of the things that I would say about you, is that you're incredibly supportive and you're incredibly articulate. And, you know, you're a great friend. I would like our listeners to know that Galen actually found me through the radio. I think it was 1987. And she's been making a lot of contributions since then. There's actually a motto, Gail, from, I think it's from the Sierra Club.
Yeah.
I think the motto is, leave only footprints, take only memories.
There you go.
And I think that encapsulates what you were talking about.
I think so, too.
So I appreciate that. Did I hear Will making a sound a while ago? I thought I did. Well, we're just about to end the show right now, and we really want to thank Gail for your relationship with Sarah Ferguson and getting this conversation of philanthropy and what we can do to change the world. I want to thank Roberto's Bungalows for being our sponsor. I want to thank Debbie and Will and Cherie and just Pete in the background for putting this whole thing together. And Debbie in particular, I want to thank you for covering my buns today. It's been great. This program is produced by Kirkgaard Media Group. Pete Laubach is our technical officer, and Bent Migan sings Almost Ordinary People for us. So there you go. Thanks for listening, and thanks to the team at Voice America.
We're almost ordinary people here. Hear the music, feel the dance.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.